there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Good morning.
I'm going to read to you a text from the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. And they call them the Synoptic Gospels, which basically means there's like four different angles or views on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, okay? So it's like four different people telling the story of this incredible God-man. And in Luke chapter 1, we actually get what I like to call it like the prequel to the nativity. So you know like how in films you get like the film, you get sequels, and nowadays you get prequels as well, don't you? Because you want to know what happened before the original film. Well, this is like the prequel to the nativity. It's the birth of another pretty special guy called John the Baptist, okay? And we're just going to read a little text from Luke chapter 1. It's going to come up on the screen. It says this. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." John the Baptist is the prequel to Jesus. Jesus is the Lord, but John the Baptist is there to make the way, prepare the way for the Lord, okay? He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, a famous prophet from the Old Testament, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. That's interesting. To turn the hearts of the parents, in my version it says the fathers, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So there's this guy coming called John the Baptist. This is talking about his birth. And it says that he's going to grow up in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to minister to the people of Israel. He's going to preach. He's a prophet who's going to bring the word of God. And when he does, what you're going to see happen is that God is going to turn the hearts of the parents toward their children. I read that and I thought, that's a bit weird. I thought, aren't parents' hearts usually toward their children? Why would you have to turn the hearts of fathers and mothers toward their children? I mean, is anybody in this room that has children not got a heart for their children? I have a heart for my son, and he can be a right pain. I probably this week, I'll tell you a story. This week, he came into our bedroom naked. He walks in, proud as punch, naked. He climbs onto our bed. I promise you, this is exactly what happened. He sat on our pillows, where our heads go, and wiggled his bum. And he went, "Look at me, mummy, look at me." And he wiggled his bum all over our pillows. We had to change the pillow sheets. But my heart is still for him. I still love him. He drew some pictures for me this week in school. He drew some pictures, he brought them home, and I think the teacher wants to have a word with us because they were disturbing, should we put it that way? They were violent. There were dead people on those pictures. But my heart is still towards him. I still love him. I'm embarrassed in front of the teachers, but I still love him. I take him every Monday night to a kickboxing club. We go to a kickboxing club and he's learning the art of kickboxing, and I'm learning with him, and that's funny in and of itself. But this is the thing. There are other people there, and Jackson's quite good with them, but when he gets an opportunity to go head-to-head with me, he goes hard and for the face. He really does. It's like something takes over him. And he's going like that, really trying it. But I still love him. My heart is still towards him. He regularly goes into the fridge and eats my chocolate and biscuits. My chocolate and biscuits. But my heart's still towards him. I'm just venting, aren't you? My parenting woes to you this morning. Yes, I'm sure there's more to come. Some of you parents are going, there's more to come. And a lot more to come. That's right. There's a lot more to come. But my heart's still towards him. So what could this verse mean, that the effect of the ministry of John the Baptist would be that the hearts of the fathers would be drawn back to their children? So I researched this, and I looked, because there's lots of academics and scholars and things that have different views on what things mean. And the truth is, nobody quite knows what this verse means. There are theories as to what it might mean. Some people say that perhaps what it means is at that time, at that place, there was a lot of relationship breakdown within families, and that the result of John the Baptist's ministry would be to bring families back together again. That's nice, isn't it? That's a good thing, and we pray for that, and we hope that that would be the effect of God's influence in the world, is that he restores broken families, and that might be true. And there were other theories as well, but let me give you my take on what I think this verse is speaking about, okay? And here's what I reckon it might be speaking about. If you understand the context of the time in which they lived, the religious culture of the Middle East, the religious culture of Judaism was very adult-centered and very child-unfriendly. Okay, let me say that again. The religious culture did not have a father heart for children. It was all about the adults, and it was all about the now, and it would become a religion for adults. And the children didn't get a look in. In fact, they were a pain to be ignored. Does that make sense? I'm gonna show you some of that in a moment. But I think what this is saying is that the result of John the Baptist's ministry would be a restoration of focus on the next generation. That the religion of Judaism and the Christianity that came out of it, the focus of the Judeo-Christian religion wouldn't just be the adults in the here and now, but on the next generation. It would be child-focused. Okay, that's what I reckon it might mean. Why? Well, I think God, the Father, has always been passionate about children. I think he just loves kids. And I want to bring out another verse to you. This is in the same book, in the book of Luke, a little bit later on, chapter 18. It says this: people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. In other versions, it says children. People were bringing children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, what did they do? They went, oh, brilliant, we love kids. Aren't kids brilliant? Aren't kids the focus? Aren't kids the most important thing about this? Aren't we supposed to be living for the next generation? Isn't our focus on the next generation? No, that's not what they said. Why? Because they were adult focused. Look what they said. They rebuked them. They rebuked the children. Go away. Jesus hasn't got time for you, children. That's what they did. I wonder why. Because they didn't have a father heart for the children. The Judeo faith at that time was adult-centered. It's all about now, not about the future. And what did Jesus do? Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus rebuked his disciples. He rebuked the culture where children were not the focus and not important and not valued. Jesus said, no, being childlike and children like these are exactly what my kingdom is for and exactly what my kingdom is about. And so I link that with that previous verse that we read. You see, where it says that the ministry of John the Baptist will turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children. Maybe he's saying he's going to restore a focus on the next generation instead of just thinking about now and thinking about the faith in terms of adults, that maybe we'll turn our hearts again to the future and say, what about the children? What about the next generation? What will Christianity look like when Jackson is 20? What would it look like when he's 30? And that is where our heart and our passion should be as a church, is to bring children into the center of everything we do and not keep them on the fringe in the back hall where it's cold, but bring them into the heart of what we do. And so we do all-in services, don't we? We did one last week where we bring children in. And sometimes you might think, oh, they're a little bit noisy, or they're a little bit this, or they're a little bit like this. And Jesus will rebuke you and say, come on, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. Bring them in. You know, Christmas, I think, is brilliant because for a few weeks, in a slightly more special way, doesn't our focus and attention turn towards the children? It does, doesn't it? Like, really naturally. I mean, I know we like Christmas as well. And I had this ongoing joke with Jackson that he really doesn't find funny. But I had this ongoing joke with him that on Christmas Day this year, when we come down the stairs and he sees presents on the floor in front of the tree, this year, they're going to be mine. Not yours. He said, not yours, they're going to be mine, Daddy. You know, we have this kind of ongoing joke. But I get about one present under the tree now, and it's socks, right? If I'm lucky. That's it. And Danny and I will exchange our socks. But all of the rest of the presents are like Jackson's, yeah? Because there's a focus on the children, isn't there? In a wonderful way. We love Christmas because we love how it just lights up their world. And our joy is in their joy, not in our joy anymore. It's like when I go on holiday in the summer, I do enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but a lot of my joy is in watching the children have joy. I get my joy now from their joy, not from my own experiences, if that makes sense. And there's a sense in which that happens at Christmas in a really lovely way. And maybe that's what church should be like. Maybe that's what the kingdom of God is like, where our joy as adults is in their joy as children. Our focus is on them. Our thinking is on the future, not just on the present. And you know this is true because you will, if you've never been to one, you might have heard of it, that there are churches across our nation that have become so adult-focused that the children no longer attend. And they're fighting over whether the piano should be there, or whether the redemption hymnals should be, you know, used every week. And it just be the arguments and the fallings out in churches about adult stuff, it's lost its way. Now, that's not the kingdom. We should be clearing the pews and making the space for the children to see the joy of the children, and our joy should be in their joy. And I think Jesus was saying to his disciples, don't hinder them. Don't create something that's just for you. Let the hearts of the fathers turn to the children again. And so maybe it's not that people didn't love their kids, but maybe it is in a religious context that they didn't have a heart for the next generation in the way that they should do. I don't think God's passion for kids is hidden in the Bible. I think it's obvious. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy 6, verse, here we go. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your, say it, and their after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Here Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, your God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your... Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. What's God saying? Don't just keep this for you. This is for you to create a space so that your children can get it, and so that their children can get it. Because God's got a heart for children. It keeps coming out. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 and 19 says this. Fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. It's a repetition of a previous verse there. You can see the repetition in it. And when anything is repeated in Scripture, it means it's really important. It's like underlining it and put it in bold and capitals, yeah? Every time they repeat things, it means God really wants you to do it. And he's saying again, teach them to your children. Make them part of it. Bring them in. Make it part of your home. Make it part of your world. Make it, the kingdom is for the children, not just for the adults. It, make children an important part of everything you do with your faith. And so in church, we have to do that too. In church, we have to make them part of our services. Make them part of everything we do. And we have to see ourselves, whether we are naturally parents or not, we are their spiritual or godly parents in this room, of every child that ever walks in this room. You and I, all of us, are like godly fathers and godly mothers who are setting an example to them, who are showing them the way, who are teaching them what the church should be and teaching them the faith. And so we are godly fathers and godly mothers in this room. And I believe this, that godly fathering and godly mothering, let's just say godly parenting, can transform the world in a generation. Imagine if the world was full of godly parents. The next generation would be different. But I also believe that poor fathering, poor parenting can ruin the world in a generation. A lot of the issues that we see in the world today, a lot of them are because of broken, damaged families and parenting issues. A lot of it is. And it is a broken world. And there's hope for a broken world. But a lot of the issues that this generation are dealing with, identity crisis, let me tell you, that goes back to what they grew up with. It goes back to the kind of fathering that they had. And it's such a shame, isn't it, in the world today, that so many don't have fathers in the home. And when they don't have fathers in the home, the consequences are identity crisis, yeah? There's a sense in which when there's godly fathering and godly mothering, people grow up secure, loved. They have a natural sense of who they are and what they need to do. But when that's missing or when it's poorly done, they grow up confused, unconfident, insecure. And they struggle. And what are we to do in the church about this? Well, we can't fix every broken family in the world. In fact, just leading our own families is challenging enough. But we can create an environment here where when the children come in, they see godly fathers, godly mothers, people that can love on them, people that make them feel secure, people that put confidence and courage in them. people that tell them what they can be, people that introduce them to truth, people that guard them and protect them in a way that maybe they don't experience in the world. That's what the kingdom is about. It's like a safe harbor for children. It's a place they can come and flourish. And God wants his church not to be so adult-focused it misses that it's supposed to be a safe harbor for children. And Christmas may just be a reminder of that this year. Look at this in Psalm chapter 78, verse 1 to 8, last text that we're going to use this morning. My people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God and whose spirits were not faithful to him. There was this kind of idea in the Old Testament that you keep passing it on. You get the children and their children and their children, and you keep passing down the truth, passing down testimony, passing down the miracles. Remember when God did this? Remember when God said that? And you pass down your testimony, you pass down your stories, and the children, they've got a chance at faith. They've got a chance to encounter God. They've got a chance to meet Jesus. How? Through us, saying, look, this is what God did for us, and he can do it for you too. And there's this sense in which it's supposed to flow from generation to generation to generation. And when we cease to do that, it stops. And the flow stops. And the generation forget God. And when the generation forget God, well, then we get kind of the society that we're living in today, right? It's our job as Christians. I think it's, listen, I know we want to enjoy church too. And I know we want to make the church something that's good for everybody. But I think it needs to be especially good for the kids. And our joy needs to be in their joy again. And that's what it means by turning the hearts of the fathers to their children, turning the heart of Christianity to the kids again, and not just making it about us, not just making it about the now, not just making it about this generation, but about their generation. Children's ministry is so, 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 so significant. It is not a babysitting club while we do religion. It is just not a babysitting club. And we try and gather together a few willing hands to be able to look after them and give them, if you like, an experience of church that is suitable for them. And we do that, and that's what they're doing out there right now. And our guys do a fantastic job of doing that. It is not babysitting. There's a purpose, and there's a hope that the children will get something of the faith when they're here, just like we do on a Sunday. And so I want you to think about those guys in there, and Becca, you're one of them in here. I want you to think about them as being some of the most instrumental and significant volunteers in church, not the ones we give our kids to for a couple of hours break. That's not what they are. They're constructing the future. That's what they're doing with their words. They're shaping the minds, shaping the ideas, shaping the hearts of these wonderful children, and making church a joy for them as well. Making church a joy. That is such an important job, isn't it, in the life of the church? They are shaping future minds and hearts. They're reflecting God's heart for the young. They're creating spaces for children to encounter Jesus. Did you know this? There's a stat that says approximately 85% of people that become Christians do so before the age of 18, and most of those before the age of 12. 85%. most people come to Christ early on. Now, there's a few of us in here who buck that trend. But most met Jesus in that room before they met Jesus in this room. And that's what our children's workers are busy doing right now. And we should honor them, cheer them on, and treat them like they're more important even than me. Not that I'm that important. So here's the actions this morning. Reframe the way you see children in the church. Christianity should be children-focused. It's about the next generation. It's about passing on what God has done in us to them and making sure they experience the presence of God. That's our job. Become a spiritual mum and dad to those behind you. Don't just leave it to our kids' workers. Don't just leave it to them. We're all family. We're a community. Look after our kids. Be a mum and dad to them. You can still say encouraging things to them. You can still buy them gifts. You can still bless them. Pray for our kids. Pray, because the next generation's blessing depends on what we do today. We don't want the next generation to be a generation that had forgotten God. We want them to be, these kids in there, we want them to be the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the prophets and the apostles and the just the wonderful bodybuilding people that they can be in the next generation. Honor our kids' team. Honor our kids' team. Treat them with special respect and bless them, because they're doing a fantastic job. And this Christmas, let's believe, it's not just going to be a Christmas for the adults. It's not just going to be great events for the adults. This is going to be a time when some children meet Jesus Christ in this room, in this place. This Christmas is going to change their whole future. It's going to change the future of their families. It's going to change the future of the next generation by what we do in this room. Let's make sure that the hearts of the fathers and the mothers are toward the children. Is that cool? That's what I reckon that verse means.